right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at the same number. Sandy Williams, it's Friday. That means Friday's with Sandy Williams. And Sandy, all is not lost. It looks like Joe Manchin is not going to be the kind of turncoat that everybody had made him out to be. The Republicans are saying he kind of stabbed them in the back and all those different things, Sandy. Democrats are celebrating. Was Joe Biden sly as a fox? I mean, Joe Manchin,
yeah,
sly as a fox doing all this time?
Well, it's sly as a fox in plain sight. back in the day they used to call what he was chasing pork. He was looking for benefits for West Virginia and for whoever it is that he was trying to pursue the interests for, whether it be business interests or labor interests in West Virginia or personal interests. I mean, I don't know, but pork. And, you know, back in the day, LBJ was the master of distributing pork in order to get things passed, like the Civil Rights Acts and the things that he was famous for, because he was a famous wheeler and dealer. So I think probably Schumer just used his wheeling and dealing capacity as majority leader to accomplish the deal.
You know, Sandy, all of the, you know, $300 billion is going to go into green energy. We had the guy on yesterday who disputed things, but you said on Monday that this is not going away.
Green energy. Well, it's not going to go away because it's beginning to make
sense,
economic sense. And it's beginning to make financial sense to utilities to build the capitally intensive kinds of things like solar arrays and wind generation. So it's making financial sense. It's making economic sense. So it's going to happen. And then as time goes on and batteries and storage develop, it's going to make more and more sense. And it's going to happen faster and faster. So the thing that people don't recognize is when things change and things begin to make economic sense, they happen quite rapidly. Automobiles came on the scene. They came on the scene quickly. Trains, railroads came on the scene. They had a rapid impact. Computers, they were nothing until they were everywhere. And so, you know, it takes a little longer to build infrastructure, but look at how quickly we went from landlines to no landlines at all, you know?
You know, Sandy, the out-of-pocket drug costs that people, whether they're Republican or Democrats, they bemoan the cost of prescription drugs and the fact that there's never been made any sense that Medicare should not be able to negotiate with the pharmaceutical company. I mean, that made no sense whatsoever, but it's been protected all of these years.
Well, the pharmaceuticals have this bogus argument that they need massive profits in order to do be inventive, and the technological innovation that the new medications they come up with are the result of the fact that they have so much extra money that they can expend on that kind of innovation. Well, we don't regulate that. We don't require that they do the innovation. They do the innovation that they want to because it has a higher return than potential return than sending the money back to their shareholders. They pay dividends, and when they get more profits, they pay bigger dividends. They also do innovation. And, you know, we just fell for it. The American political process fell for the argument, maybe because it was convenient, because they were so... pharmaceuticals were so actively involved in politics, meaning helping people get elected to office.
You know, I don't, for the life of me, I don't know how anybody who, the average American citizen or senior, who struggles with the cost of these medications and you know, this part of the aging process is that we're going to be on some meds, right?
And it's unbelievable how expensive some meds are. I mean, it's like ridiculously expensive. And the difference in expense between the generic drug and the non-generic drug can be astronomically different. And the capacity of the drug industry to charge whatever it is that the government is willing to reimburse them, and the main limit on that reimbursement after this no negotiation clause was inserted was how much could they charge before the news media put it before the public as to how much it was costing. Like, for instance, insulin. Insulin was a quiet problem until the news media began to generate the information showing how terribly expensive insulin had become, or forms of insulin had become, with this no negotiation clause.
You know, Sandy, I had my thyroid removed, and so I take a thyroid medication, which I'll be taking for the remainder of my life. And so the thyroid medication was, they didn't have a generic brand of it until recently. And I think that based on some of the things I've been reading, there is a period of time in between the time that they develop a medication, then they can bring in a generic one.
Well, the generic has to do with the length of time for the patent and the applicability of the patent to the invented medicine that has derived a patent. And one of the problems is that, you know, patent policy is a matter of legislation. And we could decide that patents for medication require a different sort of protection and a different sort of regulation. And we could control the price, or we could at least control the amount of protection that a patent provided with respect to price. But, you know, patents create almost an unrestricted ceiling to what they can charge. When the patent expires, now it gets reduced to something closer to like the cost of production.
But Sandy, that those patent laws are created by the elected officials.
Absolutely.
And so my point is, we as citizens don't have to. I mean, we've got to find a way to bring the pressure necessary on those elected officials to do what's in the best interest of us. We can't seem to get that done right.
Right. So the patent restrictions are there supposedly to support innovation. There is a closer connection between the protection that is afforded patented drugs as compared to this no negotiation process that is talked about, that has been established. But we need to wake up. We need to look at this. We need to look and see how other countries are dealing with it. And other countries clearly don't pay the same kind of prices for drugs. You know, you can buy drugs from Canada that are much, much cheaper. Same drugs.
I know. So the other part of this is, I remember reading where third world nations get the drugs cheaper than we do.
Sure.
And the pharmaceutical companies think that this is a great moral thing that they're doing, charging these lesser prices for the other nations, but it's at the expense of us.
Yeah.
And so, but I just don't think that the American people are aware enough, Sandy, of some things we should be able to change, there's some things that we shouldn't tolerate, and there's no way we should tolerate being gouged for the prescription drugs.
Long ago, we decided that the people who provided water to us in the pipelines under the street ought to be regulated because they shouldn't be able to charge anything at all for water, anything they wanted to, because water's a necessity. We'll die without it.
Right.
Some drugs are just exactly the same thing. People will die without them. They'll pay anything to get them, but should they be required to pay anything, or should they pay what is deemed to be a fair and regulated price? Same is true with electricity. Electricity comes from regulated utilities in most states, because otherwise they could charge us anything at all for it because it's a necessity. We don't allow that. We need to look at drugs more carefully and figure out how it is that we should both promote innovation, or at least allow innovation to exist, and make sure that we aren't gouged for pricing.
So here's one of the things that frustrated me, that my thyroid medication, when they finally came up with the generic brand, there was a push to raise the price of the generic brand in order to protect The original one.
Well, what does happen is that there's a brand name, okay, that's attached to the original one. And frequently, the drug manufacturer, when that patent expires, continues to make the drug under the trade name that was the patented version, and they also make a generic version of it so they can cover both sides of the street, right?
Yeah.
But they don't want to put a dent in the sale of that high-priced, high markup trademark drug, so they jack up the price of the generic drug in order to make sure that not too many people jump from the trademark drug to the generic drug.
Well, Sandy, that's what do you call it? Dealing from both ends of the deck. Is that kind of what they're doing?
Yes.
You know, in all of these things, Sandy, in most instances, the American people are just not aware of those things. That information is not just out there. You've got to dig for that kind of information. You always talk about things being complex. That whole thing is complex. Because if you're thinking about, again, the people who developed that drug and they've got the original drug, they're not going to just all of a sudden go out of business because there's something generic coming down the pipe. And does it mean that the generic is as good as the original? I don't think it is. Or
No. The generics are identical.
Well, I know that's what they say.
No.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. I mean, to the extent that the FDA regulates adequately the efficacy of the production of these drugs, yeah, they're essentially identical.
The same
drugs.
Ingredients, everything.
Yeah. So that when you get a prescription from a doctor and he says you can take this and you can either buy this, the trade name drug, the trademark drug, or you can buy the generic drug, he, she is telling you that because they're identical.
Yeah, well, it's probably more than I can comprehend, because why would I buy the original if it's the same thing? And the generic is cheaper. What would be my incentive to buy the original?
Well, there's been some economic studies and surveys done about why trademarking makes a difference and why people follow brands and why people want to pay more for a branded product than an unbranded product. And it's psychological and it's subconscious, but yeah.
Sandy, we got to go to break. 844-967-2789. We'll be back. So...
Space.